right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we want to take a look at Zombieland 2. It's directed by Ruben Fleischer. He did the first movie. He had also done Venom. Had also done 30 Minutes or Less, which I remember, I think that was okay. 30 Minutes or Less. I want to say Michael Pena was also in that movie.
That wasn't bad.
It's written by Dave Callahan and Rhett Reese. Stars Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin. The synopsis is, Columbus, Tallahassee, Wichita, and Little Rock move to the American heartland as they face off against evolved zombies, fellow survivors, and the growing pains of a snarky makeshift family. Picks up several years later after the first movie. So in the first movie, Jesse Eisenberg's character is living in the zombie apocalypse, and he's very hesitant and reluctant to do a lot of things, and he meets up with this very brash Woody Harrelson character. Odd couple, they meet up with Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin, their sisters. Again, they're just trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. They do. This one picks up 10 years later. They're still all together, but some tension because Abigail Breslin's character, Little Rock, wants to leave, and the crux of the story is that she leaves, and they're trying to find her. So we're going to talk to the person that considers himself the new face of horror.
The definitive face of horror.
Yes, the definitive face of horror.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the essence of anything that revolves around zombies, vampires, werewolves, random creatures, the head of a lion, the arm of a mouse or something. I don't know. But anyway, James.
Oh, God. I just let you keep going. I didn't know what you were going to say. All right.
But, James, what did you think of Zombieland 2?
At the end, I'm going to give it two ratings. So I'm going to start with the positive. I liked the movie because it was entertaining. And maybe I'm a little bit biased because I did go to a 4D theater and it made the experience more real. So it was fun.
About the 4D theater, James.
Oh, well, 4D theaters, if you don't know, are basically movie theaters that add elemental effects. The seats move, slight vibrations, you get air gusts, sometimes water gusts, depending on the scene, a high-speed chase. They would have wind hitting you on the side like you're in the car. So it just make it seem like you're in the movie. So it's an experience. It's a good experience. And this movie, I enjoyed it with this experience. And I enjoyed the movie overall, but there were some things I didn't like. The things I didn't like, it just seemed like they didn't know what they wanted to do. I mean, I understand there was a lot of arcing stories.
Agreed.
But they were just going in so many different directions. After a while, it was just like a certain character. She was funny in the beginning. I chuckled. I laughed a little bit. But after a while, she just became utterly annoying. Outside of that, I enjoyed the movie. It just didn't know what it wanted to be. It just went in too many different directions. And the directions they went in they were good, but some of them were kind of unnecessary. So it's not better than the first one. I really enjoyed the first one. I'll say that. And the ending scene, the end credit scene was pretty good too. I like that as well.
All right. So I'm going to echo a lot of what you just said. The first one to me is a classic movie. It's unexpected, and you really didn't think it was going to work, but it does, and it still holds up. And I think for me, another problem is that I just recently watched American Ultra, which also had Jesse Eisenberg in it, which is also kind of like this off-the-wall comedy where he plays a super soldier, more or less. It's still fresh in my mind, and it seems like this one is just more of a rehash of the first one, just done not very well. I'm not saying it's terrible. As you said, it seemed like they didn't know what they wanted to do. They try to introduce some new characters into it, which I don't think it was successful. But the thing that makes Zombieland, the original one, work is that you have an odd couple pair up with another odd couple.
And they had pretty good chemistry as well. It worked out.
Yeah. Everything about that movie is just more about the journey. This one is just, you know where they're going. From point A to point B to point C. The first one, you didn't know where they were going. For this movie, there was just a lot of, particularly with Abigail Breslin, just unnecessary tension and drama, or trying to be drama, which just doesn't work. And I think that for me is a problem. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's not poorly directed or poorly acted. It's just, it is okay.
I agree with you 100% because it didn't know what direction it wanted to take, and probably went in four different directions, right? And it went down each route and then decided to go down another route, then another route, and then another route. If it would have just picked at least two, I would have been okay with. But it has so many, not saying that I couldn't keep up with the story. I kept up with the story, but it was just unnecessary. Because it was so unnecessary, it takes this movie down for me. If it would just pick two paths, I would have enjoyed it more. My overall score would have been higher.
I think another problem, this is also in that whole line of let's make a sequel well after the first movie. It has happened several times this year. And also saw that Maleficent movie. Why is there a sequel for that? I don't know.
Oh, did that come out 10 years ago? It was that long?
No, I wouldn't say 10 years ago. I'm not sure when that came out.
5 years ago?
Yeah, but it just, again, continues along the line of, hey, what do we have in our stable of movies? Can we make a movie out of it? For little to no money. Then you have Zombieland, which, I mean, again, it's not a bad movie. It's shot well.
Not at all.
But I don't see a point for this to exist. There's more of a reason for this movie to exist than Maleficent, but this movie could have not just come out. I mean, I think this is just, we need to have something to hit a release window.
Like, no more than 10 years.
But they did create another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, but
but
it would just be like another one of those. Like, why?
Like you said, it's not direction, it's not the cast, because the cast still had that chemistry. It worked out. I mean, I really enjoyed Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, and at some point they have some doppelganger problems. It's fine.
It works, but once again, that was a direction that didn't have to be taken. I'm not complaining about it because I enjoyed it. We didn't have to go that route. It did. It worked out. But one of those unnecessary routes I was talking about. It was funny. I enjoyed myself, but it was just unnecessary.
To wrap this up, the new face of horror, the definitive face of horror. Let me correct myself.
Oh, Lord, jeez. I'm going to give it 2 scores, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast. So I'm going to give it 2 scores. Popcorn movie score. I give this an 8.5. Because I enjoyed myself. Could be a little bit biased because of the 4D theater. But I enjoyed myself. Enjoyed the characters. It was a good time. And I just kind of just enjoyed the movie for what it was. I mean, I was still thinking critic mode, but I still let myself go and enjoy the movie. So I give it an 8.5. Now, overall score, I give it a 6.5. I give it a 6.5. This movie just branched out in too many directions. That was unnecessary. If it was just going to stay on the path of finding, which one was it? I get them mixed up. Little Rock?
Yeah.
Just stayed on that path and was like, okay, we're going to find Little Rock. And they're running to the T-800s on the way.
Yeah, there's some Terminator references in this movie.
So if it would have just did that, and that would have been fine. And maybe had the doppelganger characters, and that would have been it. Instead, it went in 2 other directions that I felt were definitely unnecessary.
Follow that up with a 6. A completely okay movie, maybe unnecessary, but it's okay. Would I watch it again? I would probably watch the first one first.
Yeah.
And maybe just stop there. This movie doesn't necessarily offer anything different than the first movie, but the first movie is done better, important than this movie. And I wouldn't even call this a cash grab. It just feels like it was supposed to come out just to hit a release window that Sony didn't have any other movies or Columbia didn't have any other movies.
It was like that. I mean, it intended on making a movie, but they just
didn't have it. It took too long, man.
The first movie was 10 years ago.
The good thing they did about that, because the movie was 10 years ago and the story they advanced 10 years as well. They're trying to keep it, okay, well, the characters look older, well, they are older. I believe they maybe should have did it maybe at the most 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 5. And right now, they should be working on the third one. If we should be on number 3, if they were going to make it number 3. This is going to make this a trilogy.
Well, for me, this also kind of reminds me of the Toy Story movie. It's kind of like that. It's like, why is this movie out? Or the Terminator movie. It's another good example. What other stories do you have to tell? Again, it's not bad. It is just okay. And if you just want to put out a just okay movie, at least try to make it entertaining. So, I don't know.
This is supposed to be Zombieland Double Tap or 2 or whatever. This is Zombieland 1.5.
Yeah.
Basically the same movie. Like I said, I enjoyed myself. It was a good time for me. I laughed at some of the things. I enjoyed characters. Like I said, I have good things to say about this movie, but the only thing I hate was that the overarching stories that just were unnecessary. It had too many plot lines going at one time. Truly unnecessary.
And that's the Beast Game Podcast.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that Bill Murray thing at the end?
Yeah, we can. So, big thing about the first movie, or I guess there was a big cameo in the first movie. And this one tries to do it slightly differently. Bill Murray, I guess at that time, hadn't quite hit cult status like he has now, but he was in that movie, they wrote him into it, and they killed him. This one tries to do a slight spin on it, but go ahead and describe it, James.
In the movie, there was a scene, I think, with Rosario Dawson's character and Tallahassee. I think she was about to kill him, but she called Murraying him because they killed Bill Murray thinking that he was a zombie. You fast forward to the end of the movie, the final scene, the end credit scene, is I think Bill Murray is doing a press conference for Garfield 3, right? It was a Garfield movie, Garfield 3.
Yeah, there was a Garfield 2.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he basically was doing a promo.
Right. He was doing a promotional tour or whatever. Like just with reporters about his upcoming movie, which was a Garfield film. I don't know which one, but it doesn't matter. So all of a sudden he's having a press session with Al Roker, and he started throwing up and he got infected. And this was so-called like a, now you say patient zero, or basically this was the first outbreak. So Bill Murray was there in the first outbreak, and he was just going through, just knocking zombies out left and right with the chair, all this stuff. He was just going through, just kicking their ass. I mean, that was basically it, but it was just funny just to see him go around and do that. I enjoyed that because it was unexpected. I didn't expect that.
Thought it was okay. It's all okay.
Kind of cool that they brought him back, or he wanted to be back. Either way, it's cool that he's in the movie.
That's Beast Game Podcast. I mean, it's okay.
Sorry.
Unnecessary, but it's okay.